Okay. Gary, could you turn me down slightly? I feel as though I'm booming along. Okay, this is going to be a very quick, thank you, a quick introduction to a new sermon series that we're going to preach over the next 7 weeks. We're going to be preaching on Acts 2, an Acts 2 church for today, okay? And so we're going to be reading, today we're going to read the passage from Acts 2, 42 to 47. If you've got your Bibles, let's get them out. I promise not to be long because actually we want to have a lovely Sunday Bundy and we also want to have a chance to pray for people as well. I'm going to kind of try and keep it pretty straightforward and brief today. But it's an introduction to us, really. Read the passage first. Okay, here we go. Acts 2. It's about to start there. You can tell I'm getting excited. Right, okay, Acts 2. Here it is. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling the possessions and goods they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I remember I came to faith when I was 11 years old. I was at a Scripture Union camp, and probably for the first 6 months or so, I just had that amazing kind of grace on my life. At the beginning, I don't know if you had that when you came to faith, but like for the first sort of 6 months, I just, everything in, you know, about God and about Christianity and about the Bible and everything was exciting, and I love all this sort of stuff. And I remember reading this passage, 11 years old. I remember reading this passage thinking, wow, that is what the church is supposed to be like. That is what the church is supposed to be like. I would love that to be what the church is like. I would love that. And actually, for a while, I remember kind of wondering about, and I remember thinking about this particular passage, the Acts 2 church passage. And what I remember thinking was, you know, wouldn't it be incredible to see the things that they saw with us today? Wouldn't that be incredible? And you know what then happened? What then happened was, what happened was that in various ways, people came and they got huge, great, big buckets of cold water and they tipped it out on top of me. And the fire and the zeal and the sense of expectation and the sense that actually God is in this and actually that he really has put this in the scriptures here for us. Not just as a kind of like, wow, wasn't that amazing back there, back then, after Pentecost in Jerusalem, but actually as an indication to the kinds of things that the church is supposed to be like today, that actually, for me, what happened was people sort of said, man, you're so naive. I was 11. Of course it was naive. You know, sort of like, you're so naive, you know. But actually people have kept on saying it. And they've kept on saying it, and they've kept on saying it over the years. And they've sort of said, you know, that was for then. That was a blip in the history of the church. You know, that was just because of it was Jerusalem church. It was all the apostles together. It was after Pentecost. All these people had come to faith. It was just amazing. But nothing like that. Well, you know, you'll never experience anything like that. That's not what the church is supposed to be. And for years and years and years and years and years, that's actually what people have said to me. And I just want to say today that I do not believe that that's true. I believe that this passage, the Acts 2 passage, is supposed to be an indication of the kinds of things that happen to us today in church. This is supposed to be normal church life. And over the next 7 weeks, we're going to be talking about what does normal church life look like, as in Acts 2 normal church life. And I want to encourage you as we step into this to recognize that there's something going on between not only the kind of this passage in the sermon series that we're going to have over the next 7 weeks, but also the reading of the birthing of the miraculous actually ties into this, because it's about changing our minds. It's about having our minds renewed to actually come into line with a biblical pattern of thought and understanding about what Christianity is about and what church is about. And then deciding that we're going to walk that way and not turn away from it. So my teenage naivety. You know, what did it get excited about before all that cold water was dropped on it? Well, first of all, it got excited about the thought of a community that was spiritually hungry. You know, they met together and they listened to the guy's teaching, and you know, the teaching was brilliant every week. That's a real challenge to the teachers amongst us. But the teaching was brilliant every, not just every week, but every day. Every day, they were hungry. What would it look like for a church to be hungry? So hungry. What would it look like for a church to be so focused in the gifts of the teachers, so sharpened and focused that every day they had fresh bread to feed everybody? You know, the spiritual bread, the bread of the Word of God. What would that actually look like? What would the intimacy and loving relationship and fellowship look like? You know, they went to each other's houses, they had meals, they did this, they did that. They were in it all together. And actually, you know, to be part of that kind of community would be absolutely phenomenal. Supernatural every day. The supernatural every day. Every day there were signs and wonders. There were miracles amongst them every day. That's actually what was normal in that situation. They were passionate about prayer and worship. You know, they just went to the temple, they worshiped, they prayed, and they did that day by day. That was the heart of what they were about. They were, and this is one of the ones that really kind of got me the last time. When I was 11 years old, I thought, oh my goodness, radical generosity, where they considered that nothing that they had was their own, but actually everything was open to whatever it is that God required. And I thought, wow, what would that look like? And as a result of that, people get saved every day. Absolutely incredible. People were saved every day. Now the temptation, right? Here's one of the ways in which the bucket of water was chucked at me, okay? What happened was that I would sort of say all these sort of things, and I would have these conversations with people, and they would say, Alan, you're just idealizing the church in Jerusalem. You don't really see them for what they were. But actually, if you read on the next few chapters, what you actually see is exactly that. So in Acts chapter 5, what you see was Ananias and Sapphira basically being so full of, well, I don't know, maybe they're kind of just unwilling to kind of enter into that whole thing of being willing to give everything, that actually they fell down dead at the feet of the apostles because they lied about what they'd done with their money. There was something about a holy community. There was something about, you know, all sorts of stuff happening that it wasn't that easy thing of kind of looking at it, kind of going, yes, everything was just rosy in the Acts 2 church. The next chapter after that is full of arguments about who's going to look after the widows, who's going to give them food, what happens between the Jewish widows and the Gentiles widows, and all the things that happened around that, and the fact that they needed to organize themselves and they had to get some deacons sorted out. The church that was there was full of people, messy, hurting, annoying people, you know, which is exactly like every other church I've ever been in. And yet, it still had that Acts 2 experience. I'm not naive about the fact that the church is messy and that it's complicated because it's full of people. I think it's funny when people actually come and they sort of say, oh, well, you know, I came into the church and the people were really nasty. And I think, well, yeah, that's because there are people, you know, and sometimes they do nasty things. I'm not excusing it. I think we need to deal with that. But the reality is that actually church life is not always going to be straightforward. There will be issues. There are issues that we have to deal with. And so, but that does not mean that the Acts 2 church can't happen. And so I began to think again about, you know, where have I seen spiritual hunger which has actually been met by God on a daily basis? I've seen it, and I've been and visited places like the kind of the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. Every day, hungry, passionate for the Word, and being taught fresh, you know, fresh things every day. I've seen it. You know, I've thought about intimacy and loving relationships. And you know, the interesting thing is, you know, I've seen it in different places, and I've seen it at times here at different points, but I've seen it in other places too, where people just, you know, they were in each other's lives. And actually, you know, it was just normal and natural for us to do that. I've seen supernatural daily things happening. I've seen it I've seen it in Mozambique, I've seen it in Bethel stuff. Interestingly, I've seen it, you know, as we went across and visited James and the guys over in Causeway Coast Vineyard. You know, I've seen the fact that it's happening. And I would say that I've seen it beginning to happen here amongst us. Passionate prayer and worship. You know, that's what the 24/7 boiler rooms were all about. You know, I've seen that. That's actually happening now, today, amongst us. And actually, we've been part of a bit of that. And I think that's a bit of what's going on in experience, actually. I think that something in there, God is stirring something up amongst us. Radical generosity and a willingness to commit anything for the works of the kingdom of God. We're seeing that already. If you go and you kind of, if you go and visit the guys, well, actually, oh, they're here. The guys from Clay Community. You know, there's an element of kind of communal living and, you know, this car's mine, but actually you can have it and this house is mine and you can have it and, you know, and how can I help you to facilitate your ministry by actually me paying some of your bills and, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's already beginning to happen amongst us. And people saved every day. Well, that is happening in all sorts of places. And we used to talk about, you know, Mozambique, and that's amazing. But I was blown away. Last weekend, we listened to Alan Scott. He was talking about Causeway Coast Vineyard. And what he was talking about was the fact that in the last 72 days, 600 people have come to faith. They are, you know, it's an incredible thing. They had 32 people come to faith one day just a few weeks ago. You know, they are seeing exactly what this passage, this Acts 2 passage is talking about. And so as I went through it and as I began to think about it, and I began to think about it just now, I thought, I've actually seen all of these things. I've seen strands of all of these things. And to be honest with you, I've actually seen some of these things in some measure here. But I want to say, I believe that it's possible for us to be an Acts 2 church. I believe that it's possible for us to see these things every day. I believe that this is actually what we're meant to do. So can it happen here? Yes. Yes, I do believe that it can. How? First of all, I do think that there's a bit of change of mindset. I think that there's something about settling for a pattern of church life that is normal, is easy, is routine, is comfortable. And I think that actually one of the things that the Lord does is he gives us his scripture to actually challenge us and to say, have we accepted a shadow of what it is that he wants for us today? And I think that there is something about us sort of saying, I am not willing to settle for anything less than what is in the scriptures as a mark and as a pattern for scripture, for church for today. I believe that actually Acts 2 church is exactly what we're supposed to be like every day. And I think that where we haven't seen that, the answer is not for us to kind of sort of say, well, whatever, and rationalize it away. Well, that was just for then, or that's only in special places, or that's only when God moves by his Holy Spirit. But actually, it's for us to say, no, this is actually what we're going to set our face towards. There is a decision that needs to be made. It's about a mindset that you have to say, what we have, we give thanks for. But what is ahead of us, we press forward towards. And that is what we are trying to do over this period of time. That's what we're trying to do. And that's about focus and intentional moving towards that, pursuing that goal, the things that God is calling us to. That's about choosing every day to say, okay, I'm going to have a look at Acts 2, 42 to 47, and I am going to pray. I'm going to make it the prayer focus that that is what our church is going to be like. I'm going to start praying that we see, you know, people who are hungry and teaching that just feeds them. I'm going to pray that we see the supernatural every day. I'm going to pray that we have that dynamic, powerful prayer and worship experience every day. I'm going to pray that actually we see that generosity of spirit that opens up and sort of suddenly we become a community that actually, that genuinely sort of says, you know, I'm going to do whatever I can to help you because I see what God's calling you to and I want to bless that. And that we learn how to do that intimate place of fellowship. Now, the temptation in our heart is, you know, when we hear that kind of thing, is to be critical of what we already have and to sort of say, well, it's all very well, but I want you to rise above that and beyond that and to actually not to say, well, that's never going to happen, speaking in unbelief, or that, you know, that's not been what my experience has been, and, you know, looking back to the past. But what God is sort of saying is, Let's set our eyes on the future. Let's set our eyes on that an Acts 2 type church. Let's set our eyes on seeing these things happening amongst us. And then let's press forward towards it, because I think that it's possible for us to do that. Can you imagine, just for a moment, what it's going to look like here? Can you imagine what that deep spiritual hunger that is fed will look like? Can you imagine what that intimate, loving fellowship will look like? Can you imagine what the supernatural happening daily will look like? Passionate prayer and worship, radical generosity with everything held in common, and people being saved every day. Can you imagine what that will look like? And if the answer is, yeah, I can imagine even the smallest part of it, then let's set our course for that. And let's press in for all that God promises. We don't want a shadow. We want the real thing. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your word. It is a sharp sword. It cuts right to the heart of the matter. It helps us, Lord. It's like a light to our path. We see better how we're to live because we read the word and see it. But Lord God, we recognize that it is easy for us to live in unbelief, to accept the patterns that we've had up till now and say, well, that's just the way it is. But your word calls us to imagine a different future, a greater future, a future set by you according to your words. Lord, I pray now that today you would release your people, us, each of us here, to imagine what it will be like in this place, not in other places, but in this place, when this word comes to pass, when we see the Acts 2 church rising up here in this place. And we do all of that, Lord God. We desire all of that, Lord, but for your glory. It's not for us. It's not for us to be blessed. It's not for us to have something wonderful. It's so that Jesus, you would be delighted by your body functioning as it's meant to be. That the Lord, you would be delighted with a bride that is ready to receive the bridegroom when he comes again. So we ask, would you stir our hearts with faith? Father, we ask now that you would help us. Help us, Lord. Help us to step into this new future, not to be caught in the past, but to step into the future. And we pray that as we do that, that your blessing would be upon us. So may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and all those that you love, now and forevermore. Amen.